He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
The 20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this Tuesday, October 7th. That's right, Tuesday. Good to be here. Good to be alongside you. Good to be in for the next hour and a half. Yes, that's right. Hour and a half. Take it to 4:30 before we send it out to New York City for the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Happy National Yankees Get Eliminated Day for those who celebrate and observe. Can't wait for it. That'll be coming up in about an hour and a half from now. Should be a lot of fun, the show today. Can't wait to get into it all. But big thank you to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D Show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on 1430, the Sportsline Bulldog Hour, with all the great guests that know everything, and I mean everything, about Fresno State athletics. You can listen to it live and on demand on the ESPN Fresno app. You can also listen to it on the 1430ESPNFresno.com website for all of that. You also have my show goes from 3 to 6 normally, like we say. Sometimes the programming changes, 3 to 4:30 today. And you also have Palmetto's program, the Central Valley Sports Report, live on Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon on 1430. it is good to be here. We, of course, invite you to be a part of the show, as always, every day. The Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. Once again, 559-320-1430 to get into the conversation. Let your opinion be known. Let your voice be heard on this program here in the Central Valley Sports Leader. Lee's Air Weather Check, taking a look at what the weather is today. Could be the warmest day left of the year. We'll knock on wood for that. But 90 degrees is our temperature, is our high. Currently 89, getting up to 90 degrees. Then we will start this dive down into potentially by next week, 60 degree weather next week in Fresno, 84 tomorrow, 79 Thursday, 78 on Friday, 73 Saturday, 74 Sunday, 72 Monday, and then about a 68 degree temperature day on Tuesday next week with a 40% chance of rain. The thing I'm really looking at is we got 40 degree temperatures overnight, maybe next weekend. So bundle up, folks. Get the sweaters out. It's going to start feeling like fall and winter here in the Central Valley. Although I argue, I don't think winter really ever hits Fresno. The winter I consider is snow and everything like that. So it's perpetual fall, in my opinion, here in the Central Valley. It's all about perspective, folks. It's all about perspective. Like I said, we have a good show today. Can't wait to get into it with the folks here, as always. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch if you want to listen to and watch the video portion of our program here. Be sure to tune in there. Excited to get into all kinds of things on the show today. Of course, we're going to recap some of last night's action. Maybe talk some baseball today. I think we're going to hit some of the baseball so far from the MLB playoffs. The Dodgers 2-0 start in their series. We'll get into that. And is that series over against Philadelphia after what the Dodgers have done? We'll get into a Bonatti Blitz where we're ranking the Week 6 slate of games. Can't believe Week 6 is already here. We have 15 games to rank this week, so can't wait to dive into that. Talk about some big NFL thoughts through 5 weeks of the season. Who's the MVP contender right now? Who are the actual contenders in this league? Who are the big disappointments? I think we all got different ideas of what we can look at for that. Maybe touch on some Fresno State here as well if we get into it. But pleased to be joined by the guys who are over next to me, to my right, in the glass. We got Tim Veer, who's here back again after, I'll say, much appreciated effort, by the way, for covering the show Thursday and Friday, hosting duties. Appreciate it. How are you doing? Feeling great after after being in this seat for a little bit last week?
Yeah, it was a different experience for sure. But I had fun. You know, that Friday show, I really had fun. Thursday show was cool. Back here, so excited.
Back, and we got Daniel here as well, who's next to you there, who's going to be running the video portion. And of course, Daniel, I'm going to be very kind to you today because I know it's going to be a tough day when your Yankees lose to the Toronto Blue Jays today. But we'll try to treat you nicely before we do that death march to the end of the season for you.
Keep talking down. Like, it's not over. It's not over till it's over.
That's what you're saying. And then
that's what they all say.
That's what you want to tell yourself. That's what you're going to tell yourself. Guys, good to be here. A lot of stuff to catch up on. I mean, from the time I mean, Tanvir, I got to imagine the energy Friday. You mentioned you love Friday show. I was almost regretting being in Disneyland because of how much I wanted to talk about that Niner Ram game coming off of that Thursday night. I was there. I was in person and witnessed it firsthand. I got to imagine for you as a Niner fan, I heard a little bit of what you were perceiving into what this game was. I heard you asking about the question of who's covering Puka in this game tonight. And I don't think you had an answer.
No.
And somehow the Niners found an answer in the way they played. Just real quick. I mean, between you and I was as surprised as anybody in that Thursday game last week. And the Niners are setting up really nicely for what should be a great game this Sunday.
Yeah, we talked about it on Friday about how unprecedented this win was. And to be honest with you, I also heard a little bit of this sentiment that this is one of the best wins that Kyle Shanahan has ever had as, mm-hmm. as a coach here. And we were just looking through some of the regular season wins. I'm going to say regular season because I think playoffs is a whole different ballpark. But you know, in terms of regular season wins, I think you can put this up there with some of the best that Kyle Shanahan has had. Just off the top of my head, the Philadelphia Eagles, like, revenge, quote-unquote, game. I think that one was a really, really good one. The win against the Rams back in 21, I believe, when they got into the playoffs mm-hmm. with that overtime win. I think that was a really good one. But I honestly, this was the best one in terms of the coaching that he did. I think it was phenomenal how he was able to coach this offense with the lack of pieces. And for a fan that was not necessarily excited to go into this stretch, now we're getting guys back, and they're pulling me back in even when I didn't think I would be there.
Just when I thought I was out, They pull me back in. The Al Pacino line, I think it's Godfather 3. I think it is. Anyways, crazy game. You guys covered it well in terms of it. I got nothing more to say until maybe we just look forward to what it was. We had a lot of this in the NFL. Just teams maybe pulling out these wins, these coaching jobs that I would say are finding ways to beat these good teams in this league. And this season has been so interesting because I just don't feel top heavy the same four teams that we've been kind of perceiving as the big powers in this league that we felt like we were drawn to. This is as wide open of it because I do think that the coaching has been phenomenal. The examples, the Niner game, obviously you mentioned it, where Kyle was able to drag things out from that roster that shouldn't have won that game. And on the flip side, you could argue some McVay decisions weren't the greatest in terms of it. Then you go to games like I'm gonna toot my team's horn, you know, with the Patriots game and the way they played that Bills team and kept everything forward and tried to really frustrate that Buffalo Bills team and keep the game in front of them, on top of some prolific play calls and play execution from the offense and defense. And then last night with the Jaguars, who could have just been the same old Jaguars last night with the Kansas City Chiefs, and Jacksonville didn't blink. They made the plays they did. I don't know if you heard the post-game comments about Mahomes talking about the interception and the pick six and the way Jaguars all season in that blitz zero, that cover zero blitz package they showed at the goal line, and then for the first time they give a different look and Devin Lloyd pulls back and picks that ball off and runs it for 99 yards for a touchdown, something the Jags self-scouted themselves and found ways to win in the coaching battle. I feel like the level of coaching in the league is better this season than I've had in a little bit of time since. There's been some duds. There's still some duds. I mean, I'd argue what we saw in Tennessee and in Arizona was a nightmare and a travesty on the NFL. But to me, I feel like we are getting better coached teams, which I don't think we've had the last few years, and we are getting better coached football that we haven't had in the last few years. And maybe I'm just perceiving it after a great week of football, but after last night's game, I'm feeling like the floor is higher in terms of the caliber of football I'm watching.
I would disagree from the point in terms of like the entirety of coaching has been a little bit better. I will say, I think the top end coaches have been coaching out of their mind this season. I think Kyle Shanahan has been doing very well. Shane Steichen in Indianapolis, I think, has coached great example. Very well. Even Sean McVay and Mike McDonald in Seattle. I think those teams are playing really well. But then you go to the other side of the spectrum, and I think there's teams that are not even injured, or even if they are injured, they're just not being handled well. I think Zach Taylor in Cincinnati is an example of that. Callahan in Tennessee, Gannon in Arizona. I think there's a real separation,
McDaniel,
I would say.
Daniel in Miami.
Yeah. So yeah, I think the bottom end has been worse for me, but I will agree. I think the top end coaching has been better.
I feel like it's caught up. Some of the coaching that is like, we're not getting the big giant, you know, like when I think of top tier guys, there's not this gulf. There's not this gulf anymore in terms of it. Like Andy Reid's getting beat by Liam Cohen now. And it's like, that's just the way the roster setup is. And maybe that's just the Chiefs are still trying to get guys back. Rashee Rice will come back in a couple of weeks. And Xavier Worthy clearly doesn't look like he's 100% from last night's game. He was shaken up a little bit in the game last night as well. I don't know what his status will be, but I just feel like I don't sit here and think, man, a guy is getting outclassed every single time I watch football. I'm getting good matchups. I'm getting good results, and I'm getting competitive games that are making me want to watch maybe even some of the bottom end football that's out there in terms of it. Because when I look at the slate of games this week, there's some games I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I'm mildly interested in what that chess match will look like, even if I don't know if it'll mean I'm going to see the grand scheme of those two teams maybe playing in a Super Bowl, per se. Like the Broncos outlasting the Eagles this week, and Sean Payton just doing what Sean Payton does in terms of it. Going to Kevin O'Coyle, right, or Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings, and you know, just trying to grind out a game against Cleveland in that game. If you were up that early as well, there's just many different permutations to it in terms of it. So I find that interesting. Do you feel like I feel like the NFL is just more competitive this year. It feels more competitive this year in your mind?
It's much more balanced out because, you have all the great quarterbacks in the AFC.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think all the great rosters are on the NFC side. And so it's a little bit of, okay, are the quarterbacks going to outplay the teams themselves? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's been kind of something that we've seen over the last couple of Super Bowls where, you know, there's a team generally that gets in there based off of their entire roster versus, you know, a team that has that elite quarterback and then some pieces around it. So, I do agree. I think that this season has been generally balanced. And as I'm looking at all of these teams in the AFC, especially, I think that a lot of these teams have an opportunity to make a statement this year. You know, we've had a dominant run of Chiefs Super Bowls, the one Bengals Super Bowl in there. And I'm not saying the Chiefs are out of it, because they certainly can still get there, but I feel like there's more of an opportunity there this season with some of these lower seeded teams to beat out the elite, per se, in the AFC.
I sent the screenshot of the playoff picture, the AFC playoff picture, to my friends, and I said this playoff picture is drunk as hell.
So drunk. I saw Indy at one.
Indy's at one, yeah. Buffalo at two, Pittsburgh at three, Chargers at four, Jags at five, it's Broncos at six, and it's Patriots at seven. And then, by the way, that's by record. And then a bunch of 2-3 and 1-4s. Just a bunch of 2-3 and 1-4s down there at the bottom. And then your lovely 0-5 New York football Jets. Had to just throw that out there. Daniel, do you feel like the league's closer to each other this year? You don't feel like it's just like four teams you we're talking about all the time, and that's who's winning in these leagues? So like, do you feel like legitimately there's a chance for a lot of teams out here?
I do. I really do think that. I mean, if you just look at it, like just AFC North, for example, half, like, three of those teams have losing records. And
yeah.
You just got the Steelers. So, like, I feel like it's definitely a lot more balanced out this year. So, I feel like it could definitely go a lot more ways, you know. I think it gives the Steelers a chance to actually win a playoff game this season.
We'll see.
And, you know, the AFC North was a division that we thought coming into this season could be one of those divisions that have three playoff teams, you know.
And so, now they're the worst division in maybe football right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. So, yeah. it has been a wild year.
Do you know the Ravens are still favored to win that division?
I saw that.
Yeah, they're still at 1-4 favored to win that division.
Hey, they just believe in Lamar.
Just, I believe in that he can stay healthy this year.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Lamar can't play defense. That's the thing.
Right. They did trade for Alohi Gilman today, which I think should help their secondary, yeah. But losing Odafe Oye is also a big loss.
Yeah, so they trade him away to L.A., right?
L.A., yeah.
The Chargers.
So we'll see how that turns out for them because they really needed some help in the back end, and I think Gilman's a good safety for them.
It's going to be interesting. I think last night's game, just my big picture thoughts here at the top of the show, is just last night's game showed me that there's a lot to like about the NFL this year. I haven't really liked the NFL the last couple of years. I just really haven't felt like there was much for me to kind of find interest in terms of the storylines, in terms of the way things were kind of playing out. And this year just feels like the league is catching up to the elite. It's catching up, and I like that, and I think that's important, and that what makes the league a lot more palatable. You know, we're still going to get our dumb. We're still going to get our Raiders Titans this week, and that's where it is. But we're going to figure it out in terms of that. And maybe I just spoiled a little bit of my Blinati Blitz right there in terms of it, but we're going to get to that next. By the way, just a reminder, NHL season has started today. Sharks are going to play on Thursday, their opening night against the Vegas Golden Knights. And yes, that game is going to be on 790 this week. The Blackhawks and the Panthers playing right now. Panthers up 2-1. We're a period in, folks, and we already had a fight. And I'm here. I'm here for it. Hockey's back. Can't wait to get to it. So that'll be back. Sharks home of 790 here on 1430, or here on ESPN Fresno Family and Networks. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we rank the games for week 6 here next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Tanvir, you were sharing before this show. I wanted you to share for the people. You had maybe the worst fantasy loss, I think, in America this week.
Yeah, so I will be retiring from fantasy football after this season. I've let all my friends know. They don't believe me, but I'm being completely serious. So yes, I went into the game with 49 points scored into Sunday Night Football. And, you know, I just wanted to extend the lead. We'll see. The other guy has Josh Allen. I need to get as many points as I can.
Certainly.
And Amari DiMercato is my second flex. And he has a 71-yard rush. And I'm thinking, okay, I've sealed it. I got the win. I need a win, and I got it. And then he does the most inexplicable thing known to man. I think this was worse than the A.D. Mitchell fumble.
Yep.
Because at least with A.D. Mitchell, like, it genuinely slipped out of his hands. But this one, he was actively trying to let go of the ball. And if I was a Cardinals fan, I would be sick.
Horrible.
But beyond that, I've lost to Martin Hampton now for 4 weeks. And, I did some calculations last night. I have the second highest scoring team over the last 4 weeks, and I'm sitting in 10th out of 12 teams.
That's just brutal.
It is the most brutal season that I've had.
It's just brutal.
Since 2023.
Hey, it's not how you start, though. It's how you finish right there, Veer. It's a long season. It's a long fantasy season.
And I sigh.
I'm somehow 2 games above my entire league through 5 weeks.
People like you. It's people like you that make me mad.
After starting Isaiah Pacheco this week and DeMarcus Robinson in my flex, that's what I was doing for my – instead of picking up Kendrick Bourne, it was option A or option B. It was Kendrick Bourne or DeMarcus Robinson in my flex after Pearsall went out. I'm like, yeah, Demarcus Robinson, revenge game against the Rams. He's going to go crazy. And, of course, it's the other guy.
Hey, so. Mac almost hit him on that touchdown. I know. Sucks,
so close.
Anyways, you're 5-0.
5-0. We'll take it. 5-0 is great.
And I'm 1-4.
Puka and JSN, which can you say? Like, I got lucky with the wide receivers. All right, let's take our time to do the Benatti Blitz now, which is week 6 of the NFL. We got to get the primetime music rolling, don't we? Yeah, we do. Week 5, ranking the games for, week 6, yes, that's right. Getting our bearings here. And we start with the worst game of the week. I said it in the last break. The Raiders and the Titans in Las Vegas. I said there was great coaching all around this league. So far, these two teams have not been able to find that great coaching. The Raiders certainly do not want to show up and play for football this season in terms of the offense, in terms of the defense. Geno Smith, one of the worst turnover rates. Most interceptions, I think, through 5 games since Zach Wilson of 2021, if you want to hear that statistic. The Titans were absolutely gifted a football game last week, like Tanvir just outlined. These two teams are going to try to lose. They're going to find a way to lose, and yet someone will win this football game on Sunday.
Until it's a tie.
Oh, well, that'd be the worst.
This is also my worst game of the week. The Raiders got to win this one. Like, if we're being for real, yes, the Cardinals lost, but the Raiders should be able to beat this Tennessee Titans team, especially at home. So give me that at 16 as well.
Next up, Dolphins and Chargers in Miami. The Chargers have lost their luster just a little bit. Of course, the Commanders were able to kind of really take over on the defensive end. I don't see this being close of a game. I just don't find the Dolphins appealing or interesting as a football team anymore. I'm kind of just meh on this one more than I just don't like it. But I didn't know where at least other games had juice to my to what I feel, and I have an idyllic look at what these games look like. And so Dolphins Chargers just kind of feels like the mad game of the week for me.
Yeah, it's also the mad game of the week, but I actually have it much higher. So
that's fair.
Yeah,
I have my own like personal with the other games.
Regardless of the injuries, I still think this is going to be an entertaining game.
That's fair. Next up, Jets and Broncos in London, 6:30 in the morning. I will not wake up for 6:30 Jets football, but some people like to watch a car crash. Trust me, I live near Fry and Shepherd. So, anyways, the Broncos, hey, they know how they want to play football this year, and that is a cardiac way of playing football. Jets, by the way, I think I read this stat. First 0-5 team with zero takeaways through the first 5 games, something horrible like that. One of the worst teams to start this season. I feel for Aaron Glenn, man. I feel for him. I want to see him more dances on the sideline, but this is not going to be fun in London.
Yeah, this is just one spot higher for me. I think the Broncos should be able to go in there and get the victory. I think any time this Jets team plays against a competent offense, it's going to be a tough day for them. We saw that against the Cowboys. We're going to see it again against the Broncos.
Next up, Saints and Patriots in New Orleans. I love watching my Patriots play, so I'm putting them at least here. I have no interest in what Spencer Rattler does at quarterback, nor do I think it's going to be appealing football. This shouldn't be close. This should be a blowout. This should be a Patriots roll in New Orleans. But anything but in the NFL sometimes with these teams. So I'm cautiously optimistic that this game will get boring, and I like boring, and so I'll put it here in my 4th worst game of the week.
I'm completely opposite. I got this at 7th because I think Spencer Rattler has quietly played some decent football over these last couple of weeks. Finally got his first win against the Giants.
He was 0-11.
And so I think this will be a close game, and that'll prove for an entertaining finish, so I got that a little bit higher.
Let down game for sure, potential on the Patriots side.
There's always one, though. There's always one.
Next up, I'll put Steelers-Browns here in terms of the matchup between, are the Steelers going to get bullied again on their offensive line? Is Aaron Rodgers going to run for his life anytime he faces Myles Garrett and crew, Mason Graham and crew, all of those guys on the Browns defensive front? Dylan Gabriel, you know, he showed some things out in London last week against Minnesota. Can he show some things on the road in the Steel Curtain? I wouldn't say it's going to be the most appealing football to watch, but it will be competitive in Pittsburgh.
Agreed. This is lower for me, but I do agree with every sentiment you had. I am excited to see Quinshon Judkins against this Pittsburgh Steelers defense. I think that this is another test for him to see if he's going to be that elite rookie running back this season. So, a little lower, but I am still somewhat excited.
Next up. I don't know where to put this game, so I'm just putting it here just in case Lamar, I don't believe, is going to play, but I'm putting Ravens and Rams here for now. And just let's be honest, the Cooper Rush situation right now doesn't seem to be an appealing one for the Baltimore Ravens, who are staring 1-5 in the face because of a Rams team who's pissed off coming off of that Thursday night loss that they definitely felt like they gave away. This game was like one of my top games, maybe if I asked it 2 weeks ago. But because of every bit of nature of the Ravens' defense, the way things have turned, I don't see this game being an interesting one in terms of how close it was. Man, Houston looked like a world beater against this Ravens' defense. What can this Rams' offense do? So this is going to be lower on my list than I would like.
Start all your Rams this week in fantasy, boys. This is going to be a blowout. This is a kind of middle of the pack for me as well. Lamar Jackson probably is not going to play, and I think the Rams, as you said, will need a win after the loss that they had last week. So, yeah, give me the Rams and the Ravens a little bit in the middle.
Next up, go to Carolina and the Panthers taking on the Cowboys here in the middle part of this week slate. Cowboys are fun to watch, man. I don't care who you say, what you say about Dak Prescott. The man's been balling. Man's been playing some good football. The offense has certainly been playing some good football. Bryce Young does something dumb every game. Can't wait to see what he does this week. Doesn't mean it's not entertaining. I like watching Tet play some football on the wide receiver side. And obviously, Rico Dowdle, revenge game, could be on the factor as well. So, we'll see. Panthers, Cowboys, sneaky, weird potential shootout in this one in Carolina.
Yeah, once you get past the obligatory interception that Bryce Young will throw in the first quarter, he's kind of dealing. Well, it was against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
But regardless, this Cowboys defense can get torched. This Panthers defense will get torched. You're going to see a lot of points in this game. So, yeah, this is going to be entertaining.
Next up, Giants and Eagles on Thursday Night Football. That's when it's coming up in a couple days. Jackson Dart, man, it looks so promising. 2-0 start, looked like it was great, and then second half in New Orleans happened, and Cam Scatabo still looking for new gloves in terms of that as well. So we'll see what they do in a divisional matchup in the Meadowlands. Feels like a game the Giants really absolutely feel like they should have or should need. They certainly won't have it because the Eagles are going to find a way to bounce back in this one. We'll see. Sneaky kind of weird Eagle vibe going on right now of how they've been kind of lackluster in the offensive department right now. So we'll see what this game provides on a Thursday night.
I have this in my top five at five based solely on the storylines going into this game. I do think the Eagles should be able to pull away, but I'm not dropping like doubt on the Giants to maybe pull off an upset. Something weird is going on in Philadelphia, even though they are a very good team. And I feel like the Giants can catch them out coming off of a loss against the Saints. So, yeah, I have this at number five. We'll see how the Philadelphia Eagles respond.
Next up, Commanders, Bears on Monday Night Football. We know how it ended last year, the Hail Mary from Jaden Daniels. While I don't remember the Bears player's name, but he was celebrating at the back end of that play. I don't know if it'll come down to this. I think the Bears are vulnerable in this football game. I don't know if it's going to stay close. The Commanders, like, I think that's their best game they played this week when they beat the Chargers the way they did, running the football in a good clip as well. Jaden Daniels easing back in from the injury should be, I think, a relatively good game for them. Put it right here in the middle of the road, Monday Night Football, Commanders and Bears.
Yeah, this is my number four. I think that I'm excited to see how the Bears come out of this bye week. Yeah, they had a rocky start. They had a really good last 2 weeks before the bye week. You had this Commanders defense who kind of reinvented itself last week against a good Chargers offense. So this is not only a test for Caleb Williams that I am excited to see, but also the Jaden Daniels getting back storyline is something I want to see him succeed in. So, yeah, give me this at number four.
Next up, Packers and Bengals in Green Bay. Hey, I'm in on watching the Joe Flacco experiment. We'll see what happens in terms of it. The Packers have somewhat downplayed to their opponents every time they seem like they're ready to be world beaters. So we'll see what it looks like. Two defenses that I think have, I mean, we knew what the Bengals were about, but the Packers may be slightly underperformed, but they are coming off the bye, I believe. Is that correct? So we'll see what fixes they have made. I'm just interested in the Joe Flacco story, playing for Cincinnati. Never thought I'd say that in the year 2025 when I was thinking of Joe Flacco winning football games in 2009. So Packers-Bengals sits here right outside my top five.
Did you hear that the Bengals did not make calls for Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston? Shocks me because this offensive line can't afford a statue back there. So
I wouldn't call for Russell Wilson. I may have called for Jameis.
Okay, we're talking about Joe Flacco here compared to Russell Wilson. It is down in the dumps for this Bengals team. I think they will score. I think, as you said, the one positive outlook on this game is the Packers kind of downplay to their opponents, but this should be an easier Packers win. So that's why I have it a little lower, because I think it will be.
My top five. Colts and Cardinals. Yes, I am putting the Cardinals in the top five. They could be 5-0, folks, if they just didn't screw around the last three games in heartbreaking field goal losing fashion. The Cardinals could be the dumbest 5-0 team in the National Football League, and that's why they're so entertaining. And the Colts, on the flip side, are entertaining in its own right. I don't know if this game stays close, but I mean, we're getting everything we want in football in terms of these two games. And I'll say it. It could get dumb in Indy, but I'll be watching. I'll be glued to it. The Colts are a revelation for me.
Much lower for me because
I know
I'm so out on the Cardinals. Maybe it's just my disdain for their running back trio or Kyler Murray getting a ball bounced straight off of his face or them fumbling an interception in the
Are you not entertained, though? Are you not entertained?
There's certain entertainment.
Even the
that comes
Panther
out of
game
it.
They won, they couldn't.
Maybe now there's no fantasy implication. Maybe I will be entertained, but for me, I'm so out on this game. Cardinals, I think the Colts will win.
Cardinals are number one in entertainment factor for me on this season. They are not a serious football
no.
team. Next up, in my top four, Monday Night Football, Falcons and Bills in Atlanta. I think this is sneaky interesting in terms of the aspect of what Atlanta can be versus this Bills team who I think has been playing with their food for the first 5 weeks, honestly. Let's be honest with you. It is not the full-throat Buffalo Bills that we've seen. Other than when they really blew out the New York Jets, I don't think we've seen the full power of what Josh Allen and this team can be outside of it. So going in a hostile environment, going into Atlanta on a primetime stage where they just blew a game to the New England Patriots, it's going to be interesting to see where they kind of bounce back. Can Atlanta run the football on Buffalo, which teams have been kind of able to do with the lack of size? Ed Oliver was questionable in that game last week. So I'm curious to see if it's a big game from Bijan, and can the Falcons dictate the pace of this Monday night game? I think this is a close and interesting one on Monday night.
This is an Atlanta team that I had a little bit of a higher expectation for, but now they get a matchup against a team that's good, but also they match up pretty well against. They defend the pass really, really well. Mm-hmm. The Bills are not the best running team, and so you have positional advantages for the Atlanta Falcons. They could pull this off and get a win. It's right outside my top five, but honestly, it could certainly be in my top five for sure.
Next up. Jags and Seahawks here at number three. The Jaguars, who have been so opportunistic in terms of the takeaway advantage. Another one last night in an all-time fashion, 99 yards from Devin Lloyd, who is first-team All-Pro for me at middle linebacker right now. In terms of it, the Seahawks play epic, amazing games, especially with their heartbreaking loss to Tampa Bay. I'm curious to see the offensive matchup, Seattle versus the defensive matchup of Jacksonville. On the flip side, Seattle's defense, who we thought were going to be world beaters going into this, but Tampa just was Tampa last week. Can Seattle bounce back and cause fits for this Jacksonville offense that at times can get in its own way as well? Two teams that have a lot to prove this year, feel like they can make a statement with a win and keep going into a trajectory that maybe people weren't ready to put them in. I think this is going to be a fascinating game in Jacksonville.
Hey, I had this trajectory planned out. I had them winning the division, so I'm just going to pat myself on the back. I think these are two teams that will give you an entertaining game regardless. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you have Travis Hunter and Brian Thomas Jr. So many good players across all of teams. This is my number one game of the week. I think this will be a very, very fun game to watch. I am so excited to see how Sam Darnold does against this Jaguars defense, because you have Patrick Mahomes, the 49ers, and some of these AFC South teams have not been able to score on this Jags defense at will. So we'll see how that goes.
Number two. Chiefs, Lions, Sunday Night Football. The desperation of Kansas City now at 2-3 to go and have to probably beat this Lions team to avoid a big pitfall 2-4 start. Backs against the wall in Kansas City. The Lions went out and really played well the last time they were in Kansas City. And some would argue this Lions team has maybe been the most complete team through first five games of the season as well, outside of their just kind of lackluster start against Green Bay in week one. The Lions have quietly been a very, very good football team the last 4 weeks. So it's going to be a very tall task for the Chiefs to be able to handle this team, and we'll see if they have the answer coming. But when you have one of the best quarterbacks out there, usually you find a way to win. You've seen Brady with these spots where he's needed to bounce back in a certain way. Can Mahomes do that as well? This Lions team is going to be a tough test in Kansas City.
Yeah, this Chiefs run defense has been a shell of themselves ever since their Super Bowl season 3 years ago. And I think that this is where they're going to get exploited. I think the Lions will win this game, but it should be very entertaining, because I also think that the storylines of the Chiefs possibly going to 2-4, as you said, is insane. So, yeah, give me that at number two as well.
And number one, my number one game of the week. Yes, I am putting the San Francisco 49ers going to Tampa Bay as my number one game of the week, frankly, because Tampa Bay is the most entertaining team in the league right now. And Mac Jones is maybe the most entertaining quarterback right now in terms of what he's been providing. Boy, that was cinema on Thursday night. Gutty, gutsy, amazing win for the 49ers. What can they back up after a pseudo bye week as they go and take on Tampa Bay, who has done nothing but win in a fashion that will give fans heart attacks? I can't wait to see what this will provide, because this is for the NFC top seed. For now, a massive tiebreaker advantage if you go to NFC standings. This game matters in terms of the playoff picture. It has the best juice. It has the best two teams, I would say, going at it this week. Bucks, Niners, late afternoon. Can't wait.
Yeah, the only reason this is at 3 and not 1 for me is still the injuries. I'm still scared about what this team can do. But if they keep playing like they've been playing, I mean, you're probably going to see fireworks in this game. Both the Bucks and the 49ers have played one-possession games all year.
Crazy.
Every week they have finished in a one-possession game. So this is, by math, going to be a one-possession game and a fun one indeed.
You know who the other team was?
Who?
The Cardinals.
Of course.
And that is your Benatti Blitz. Of course, I had to just shove that in right there at the end. Bye weeks are Texans and Vikings, by the way. I don't quite miss them. Daniel, any top game for you? What's your favorite game of the week for week six?
I think it's also going to be San Francisco versus Tampa Bay for me.
Yeah.
I think just because the stakes this early for that game, I think it just makes it very entertaining.
Could determine where the playoff game is in January between Tampa and San Francisco. It really, yeah. Really can. It mm-hmm. really certainly can.
I think this will also help solidify Baker's case, because I mm-hmm. I know we're going to talk about this in a bit, but mm-hmm. going in MVP.
All right.
Wow. I was going to say, like, if either of these teams win, I think it solidifies them as contenders for the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yes. Because
I think Tampa, no matter what, I think is solidified for me as a Super Bowl contender. I think the Niners for sure would solidify if they win. I think the Niners need it more to solidify that.
Yes, yes.
As opposed to Tampa, who I think Tampa can beat anybody on any given Sunday.
Agreed.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball playoffs, just catch up on what's been going on. Stay with us. You're listening to Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. By the way, the previous segment, we had Benatti Blitz. That was brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Grocery Outlet, of course, being part of that tailgate-ready program. Three home games left, so three chances to win. Two tickets and $100 towards your tailgate for the Fresno State Bulldogs. Be sure to enter at your local grocery outlet today in Kerman, Sanger, downtown Fresno, southeast Fresno, and northwest Fresno as well. So, that Bonatti Blitz, once again, brought to you by Grocery Outlet. We now have some breaking news on the program here. I wanted to mention it to you. NCAA adopting a transfer portal now, a solo singular transfer portal, January 2nd through January 16th, two-week portal for all FBS and FCS players in 2026. So they announced, I think the spring portal was going away, and now they are going to do one singular portal for the transfers to make their decision. Of course, college football players, including graduate transfers, now must wait until January 2nd to officially enter their names. This obviously probably in the middle of that college football playoff run. Obviously, a lot of the bowl games, I think, will be wrapped up by January 2nd as well. So that avoids those situations. The new 15-day transfer portal window opens one day after the college football quarterfinal concludes. I'm reading the article on ESPN right now. The Division I Administrative Committee also approved a reform around the transfer window exception granted to football players after a head coaching change. Effective immediately, starting 5 days after a new head coach is hired or announced, players will have a 15-day window to enter their names into the portal. Now, if you remember the old way, especially when we knew when Entz and Skipper and all that stuff was, players were given a 30-day window to enter the portal immediately after a coaching change. So that window has now been shortened to 15 days. What do we guys? What do we think? 15 days, January 2nd through January 15th. Excuse me, January 16th for the transfer portal window. Now, some could argue, yes, it was in the middle of the playoff. Why are we doing this in the middle of playoff? But let's not kid ourselves. The guise of NCAA is that they're student athletes first, and these student athletes, quote on the students, is they have to enroll into classes, and you can't really do that in February when the national championship is played. So this is the only time where you can still hide under the guise of, yes, we need them to be students here at these schools and have these classes that they can enroll in. So January, this feels like the only option they could have gone with.
Yeah, I think that the bowl season still being, you know, in the middle of all this is the one thing that I have an issue with. But when you bring up the whole class schedule aspect of it, I think it is pretty correct. I also think that just the significance of all these players playing in the playoffs and the bowl games has dwindled over the last couple of years. You'll see a lot more opt-outs, regardless of, like, if there is a player that is going to the draft or even somebody that is trying to transfer. So I think it'll really affect those games. Maybe it'll affect some of these games that have some high upside sophomores and juniors that are trying to get to bigger teams. But yeah, this is I do like the fact that it got streamlined. I will say that. I think it needed something like that because of the wildness of what happened last season. So, yeah, positives and negatives. But overall, I still think this is a net positive in terms of what we're seeing here.
I think it's as good as you can do in terms of it. But I still think there's one more step after this. And, of course, like, players and lawsuits will come if players feel like their freedom of movement to transfer is infringed upon. And I still think there should be waiting periods or a transfer limit in some form or fashion. So these guys, they just aren't transferring every which way and whatever. And obviously I think it still could be circumvented with redshirt opportunities when guys just want to just redshirt. But let's be fair. That's essentially them sitting out. Like we talked about, I think it was last year, the UNLV quarterback was doing that, remember? And that whole storyline that happened. So essentially they serve their time if they want to transfer. So I don't have an issue with that. So hopefully this curbs the mass transfer we've been seeing all over and over again in the college football ranks. Of course, who knows if this gets challenged in the courts? Because I'm sure it could be. So that's the big question we have. Moving forward, is this sustainable? The NCAA, can it actually enforce this singular window? That's a question to be asked for later in time. So that is something we're going to have to pay attention to. Okay. Any other thoughts on this from you guys? We're good? All right. Let's talk about the schedule tonight just real quick, and then we're going to hit our next hour. Like, we got like about 30 minutes left. Just a reminder, currently they're in a rain delay, the Mariners and the Tigers. They're still going to do that game over on 790. We're going to have that game at 790. I heard, or at least reports say, 4:30 our time. That game is going to be scheduled a first pitch, 4:30 our time. Of course, that's still tentative, so seems like they're going to get the Mariners-Tigers game in at some point. Coming up at 4:30 our time here, we got the Blue Jays and the Yankees on 14:30. That'll be game three. Tomorrow, no behind the bench, no Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D. We're going to baseball all day. We have the Brewers and Cubs game three at 1:30. At 5:30, we have Phillies and Dodgers. And we got over on 790, Mariners-Tigers game four for sure. We'll see if necessary for Yankees and Blue Jays tomorrow as well. But, of course, we're still going to have Sunbird Sports Show no matter what. So just a heads up on that. That'll be at 6 o'clock, so maybe we miss the end of the Yankees game there at the end, if we have a Yankees game. Of course, we may not. I've already proclaimed it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Win a real series.
Ooh, here we go. Yeah.
So we'll argue some baseball next. Maybe we'll do big NFL thoughts as well. So it's going to be Fast and Furious, 30 minutes left in the show. So stick with us. Hour number two coming up next here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, behind the bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here. 4 o'clock, taking you up to 4:30 for Yankees and Blue Jays. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want to get to some big NFL thoughts. And we're going to do a little ring around the rosy here in terms of our esteemed producers here today, Dan Veer, Daniel. We're going to play a little game. I don't know what to call it. Just a little bit of a round table in terms of where are we at in the NFL season with some big questions. We're 5 weeks into the season, and I wanted to see how quickly we could go through this in talking about who the MVP is, who are the contenders, who are the big disappointments of the National Football League this year. So, As someone who is interested in this conversation, we talked about at the top of my first hour just how competitive the league has felt. I'm curious if we can kind of decipher who are the big players in this season so far as well. So what we're going to do here is we're going to start with the question of who is your MVP through 5 weeks? I think that's quite simply what the question is to start. We're going to each get two picks. We're going to go around in a circle. And because it's my show, I feel like I got to go first, right? We'll go around. We are not allowed to pick guys who have already been picked. That's the number one rule to it. You guys ready?
Ready.
All right. Yeah. I think I'm going to steal everybody's here at the top because we've been talking about it. I think Daniel probably is going to be mad I take him here at the top. But I don't think anybody's been playing better football than Baker Mayfield this year in terms of he. But I said this on Sunday, and now I'm seeing all of the national media grasp onto the Baker Mayfield MVP conversation to it. So now it almost feels like an old take, kind of like a take that everybody has consumed at the take buffet that everyone likes to join in on. But let's be flat out honest with it. You know, in crunch time, in times of needing to win football games, Baker Mayfield has done more for his team than I think anybody else has this season. His statistics certainly bear out as well. He has elevated this Buccaneers team. And yes, we know the help that's around him in terms of it. And Ibuka has been phenomenal as a rookie wide receiver, certainly rookie of the year candidate for me as well. But Baker has certainly put his team in a position to win any certain situation, certain week. He's certainly my top contender. So, yes, I'm taking Baker Mayfield off the board. I'm sure you guys had some sort of idea of around him. So that's where we'll start. So why don't we go Tanvir and then Daniel, if that works.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor. I talked about Jonathan Taylor last week as possible MVP candidate. He's leading the Indianapolis Colts, who we did not have any doubt or thought that they would be a great team this year, but they're 4-1. He's first in rush yards, first in rush TDs. He's got 16 for 133 and a reception touchdown. He doesn't have a fumble on the season. I think he is putting out a very good year. So I'm going to stray away from the quarterbacks, and I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor, running back for the Colts, as my first pick.
All right. That's interesting. And I think that is attributed to how phenomenal the Colts have been, too. Obviously, Danny Dimes has been phenomenal as well, but it's certainly going to be interesting. By the way, Daniel Jones plus 3,000 to win MVP on the MVP odds, just a heads up. But, yeah. Dale, who do you got as your number one guy?
My number one guy right now, probably, because, I mean, you already said Baker, but Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
He's leading the league right now, 1,500 yards, 11 touchdowns, only two interceptions. I will say he does get sacked a bit more because he's not a scrambler.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like with the way this Rams offense is right now and the fact that he can just, like, throw and throw down to Puka, and I think maybe besides Puka, I think he is my top MVP as long as they make the playoffs and, like, they do decent during the regular season. I'm saying, like, 11 wins minimum.
Okay. Okay, yeah, Stafford certainly feels like he is in that conversation, but I don't know if I quite have him in the upper tier of the conversation. I think the Rams certainly have to I think they took a ding to that 49er game when they needed plays they needed to have. They didn't get them, so that's certainly going to hurt them. But they're going to face Baltimore, which certainly feels like a stats galore kind of game. They go to Jacksonville and London, certainly going to learn a lot about that team there, and who knows what the Rams look like in terms of it. Now, speaking of Rams, I'm going to go to his guy, and I'm going to go to Puka Nacua as my other MVP candidate right now because of his statistical anomaly he has been so far this season, on pace potentially to be one of the record breakers of all time, maybe, in most receptions in NFL regular season. He's at 50 through five games, which is just ridiculous. He has been there every time the Rams have needed him in every aspect of it. I don't know what the Rams are without Puka Nacua so far this season in terms of it. I don't see another guy that's been more valuable outside of the quarterback position than Puka Nacua has been. Maybe Jonathan Taylor is a good argument to it, but I feel like Puka Nacua, I know wide receivers don't win MVPs, but I mean, we are talking maybe Calvin Johnson levels of potential of this season so far for Puka. So I can't ignore it, and that's why I'm putting him here.
Yeah, good pick. I think he's the only other. I think there's like a batch of three guys that are non-quarterbacks that could win MVP. I think Puka, JT, and CMC are kind of in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm shocked that this guy has not gone yet. I know he lost 2 days ago, but Josh Allen is still an elite player.
Certainly.
He's ninth in passing yards. Yeah, he doesn't have the passing yards, but he's nine pass TDs. He's still top seven in QBR, and he leads the league in quarterback rushing statistics. His team is still 4-1. They're probably going to get the one seed in the AFC, in my opinion, like if I had to bet my money on it. And so I still think Josh Allen is up there in one of the greats. I was shocked that he didn't get picked earlier.
That's fair.
I will say it was a little bit of a tie between the two guys I was choosing between, so I'm interested to see if he picks them.
Daniel, who's your second guy?
Go off with what Stephen A said. Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
That was the second guy.
Let's
I was
go.
Of. Dak Prescott, yep.
I think Dak Prescott's playing the best football he has played in his career. He's improved, I should say, a lot over the past couple years.
Okay.
And I think with the way this Cowboys offense is going so far, I really do believe he has a genuine shot at MVP this year.
I think that's a great pick. Stay healthy. That's where it is. And, I mean, we're in a scenario where Cowboys go like 10-6-1 and they're in the playoffs. Like, is that enough for a Dak conversation? Because of how bad we know what that Cowboy defense can be, that they can overcome that, and is that enough to bring the narrative of Dak Prescott being a guy who is in the playoffs and leading a Cowboy team that virtually has nothing on the other side of the ball? I don't know if that's enough. Maybe it has to be like a 12-4-1 for this Cowboys team, but
I think they got to win the division at minimum.
Is it a 5,000 plus yard season? Is it a 40 touchdown pass season? Is that statistically enough? We tried to do this with Burrow last year. He kind of feels like the Joe Burrow of last year.
Yeah.
Where we're in that conversation of like, he is, I call it the John McClain season, where it's like the dude is doing everything.
Right.
And he is getting crushed, you know, and still trying to find a way to be the last man surviving. So it's going to be fascinating. All right, let's go to our contenders. And we can go all around. Let's go reverse order this time. So Daniel, Tanvir, and then me. And then we'll do Tanvir, me, then Daniel for the, or Tanvir, Daniel, me for the disappointments. So let's start with Daniel. Daniel, who is your biggest contender this season for a Super Bowl?
Give me, you know what? Give me Tampa Bay.
Tampa, yeah.
What
do you love about Tampa?
Just the way they're performing in general. The fact that Baker, being the game manager he is, always being able to get them into that position to be able to win a football game. I think that's their biggest point. Same with their defense. Their defense, granted, it has been one possession games. I still think they do play him. They play good.
Okay. Okay. Game manager a little disrespectful to Baker Mayfield. I will say. I kind of balked at that.
Yeah, same.
So, but anyways.
My head popped back a little bit.
Tanvir, number one contender.
It's tough because there's a lot of just balance at the top.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Detroit. I think the Detroit Lions have finally found a defense that can match their offense. You know, last year in the playoffs, they had a lot of injuries. And what I can hope for them is that they continue to stay healthy. Their offense is, ever since that Green Bay game, has been humming. They destroyed the Ravens. They've destroyed the Bengals. They've been playing very, very well. I believe in their quarterback. And I think that defense with Aiden Hutchinson at the top, Kirby Joseph at the back, I still think this is a very, very all-around good team. And I at 5 weeks in, I can argue that they're the best team in the NFC. So that's why I'm going to go with Detroit as my number one contender.
It's a good pick. I was going to go them next. I will go Buffalo here. I just feel like Buffalo down three is the team I can trust the most to go in a position and score. And when you have that gut feeling as a team, and a team that feels like they have the most capability of tying a football game when they need to or taking lead, that bodes well in terms of what you can do and what you can accomplish moving forward. I know the defensive deficiencies are there for Buffalo, but they can add some guys back with some injury help in terms of it. But they have the quarterback, like we said, and I think they're the most sure bet guys, if I can think of it, another team right now outside of Detroit. That to me, I'm like, I would bet them over a lot of other teams because I trust them still the most, even though they haven't really quite delivered in the big moments, just quite yet. But Buffalo seems like the most sure bet team for me, so I'll go there. Daniel, what do you got next?
All right, I'm going to go to a team in the AFC. Give me the Chargers.
Chargers.
They've lost, the last two?
Okay.
But I feel like a lot of it goes down to the fact that they're down their two running backs, and now that whole running back room is changing. But they still got a great secondary. That defense is still pretty solid. Justin Herbert is going to be Justin Herbert. I don't think there will be any hypotheticals this year about if Justin Herbert can win a playoff game. I think his time is coming this year.
Wow. Chargers, that's an interesting pick there. Tanvir, what's your number two contender?
Again, a lot of selections. Give me my team. Give me the San Francisco 49ers, man. Go. I think that with the injuries that have stacked up, yes, it is tough. But you have Brandon Ayuk coming back. George Kittle will be coming back. Malik Mustafa is coming back. Brock Purdy's coming back. I still think that there is an injury bug, but I believe in Kyle Shanahan. And I think by year's end, this team with the schedule that they have will be in a very advantageous position. And I honestly think they've played better with the less weapons that they've had this season. So once this team is fully healthy, I expect them to be very, very good. So give me the 49ers.
I'm going to go quick here. I'm going to pick the Eagles. It took a lot for them to kind of lose that game to the Denver Broncos the way they did. But I think Denver played a really good football team. And Philadelphia, for all of the weird stuff that's around it, in my opinion, the Philadelphia Eagles still have the pedigree, still have the talent out there that I still think is valuable here as our sixth best contender. So I'll pick Philadelphia. I don't know if we could go without drafting them just because of the respect factor of 4-1 this season for them. So feels like I need to
pick them. I wasn't biased, I'd probably pick Green Bay. But
yeah, no Green Bay, no Kansas City.
No L.A.
No L.A. Rams, no Indy. Nobody tempted for Indy yet. No still Washington. No Washington. All right. We only got time for one contender before we got to take a break. So let's do – or one disappointment. One disappointment. And Tanvir, you're going to be the number one pick. We'll go Daniel and then we'll go me. So who's your biggest disappointment this season for you?
Are we talking team or player?
Team.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. I think that this team was Super Bowl contenders going into this season. Yes, they have injuries, but they are so bad right now, even without the injuries. Lamar Jackson may fix some things, but that defense is terrible. So give me the Ravens.
Daniel, what do you got?
Okay, I'm going to give you only one side of the ball here, but give me the highest paid defense, the Steelers. The Steelers defense. Everybody thought this defense would be a lot better. I mean, TJ Watt has not been playing like how he's been playing. I think part of it goes into the fact he's getting double teamed a lot more. But just in general, this defense has been off all season.
Give me the Raiders, and with Pete Carroll, and I knew this roster wasn't as like strong as it could be, but I thought they'd be better coach at least, because this is Pete Carroll's like worst start as a team, as a coach, and any facet of it. So I think the Raiders have been the biggest disappointment. They're just not in anything right now in terms of it ever since they beat New England. So I think the Raiders deserve to be in part of this big disappointment conversation as well. So that's where I'm at. All right, good conversation, guys. We'll see where we stop. I want to see if we can find the same answers in week 10 or not, or maybe down the stretch. So we'll pay attention to it. We get overdue for a break, though. Let's take a break, recap the show, a little baseball talk. Stay with us. You're listening Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN. Hi, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN. Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. I love looking at the NFL odds. They're just so much fun. Comeback player of the year, Christian McCaffrey, leading odds getter at plus 200. Nick Chubb at plus 5,000 is fast, funny. Stephon Diggs is in the conversation. Trevor Lawrence is in the conversation after his knee injury. Darren Waller at plus 2,500. All right. Anyways, J.J. McCarthy at plus 6,000, even though he never played a game of down his last year. Anyways. All right. Baseball. Let's do a little daily spread brought to you by Chicchancy Gold Resort and Casino. If you're not trying your luck with your teams, trying your luck with Chicchancy Gold Resort and Casino. Of course, some games starting pretty soon here from the AL tonight. AL doubleheader. We got the Tigers and the Mariners over on 790. We have coming up in moments the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Would you want to take a guess at who has the best World Series winning odds right now as we speak on ESPN Bet?
L.A.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to guess the Brewers.
L.A. Dodgers are a plus 150 to win the World Series right now.
I don't know. I just said Brewers just to be different, to be honest. I was going to say the Dodgers.
Do you know who number two is?
Okay. I'm going to say the Mariners.
No.
No. Tigers?
No. The Blue Jays are a plus 325 right now.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't say
Brewers at plus 450. The Mariners at plus 700. And everybody's at plus 10, plus 1,000 further out. The Cubs at the longest shot, plus 3,000.
Not that Cubs.
Yeah, Cubs down 2-0 right now to the Brew Crew. Dodgers certainly have just totally perplexed this Philadelphia fan base over the first two games of the series. I did not think that the bullpen would be the bullpen it was from the regular season to now, but they've unlocked something with Roky Sasaki, it appears. I didn't think he'd be effective or be in the conversation of this whole postseason, but this is what you're getting from the Dodgers. I mean, I heard it somewhere else. They could be the 90s Yankees in terms of winning World Series at this point. So, but if you're a Dodger fan, you got to feel fantastic about where you're at right now after two games against Philadelphia.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Phillies coming into this series, I thought would be a little bit more different, like a little bit more powered on the offense, but that pitching has just been, I thought if the Phillies were going to win one game, I thought it'd be against Ohtani in game one.
They got to him.
And they did. And they gave up that lead to Teoscar Hernandez.
They really miss Wheeler. I think the Phillies miss Wheeler a lot. And I think that balked me from Philly. I was like, I don't feel great about Philly. That's why I think the Brewers are the team to be in the National League right now. And clearly they have just put the metal to the pedal in terms of the Cubs. So we'll see what it looks like moving forward. But it certainly seems like collision course for Brewers and Dodgers. So who wins today? Let's start with the Mariners and Tigers. Who takes the big game between the Mariners and Tigers today? It's tied at one.
Oh, my God. Give it to Seattle today. I lucky think that they got. I think they'll come with some power today.
Yeah. What about you, Timber?
I'm so scared about the Mariners on the road. I know they have a terrible road record, but I'm gonna say the Mariners win as well. They take the lead 2-1. I think I just saw something in that game too to tell me that they're gonna come back in the series.
Logan Gilbert going tonight. I feel really confident in his ability. Of course, they need it because they don't want to face Skubal game five, so they need to win the next two here in Detroit. Yankees lose, right? We're all agreement. Yankees lose tonight.
Well, what are we talking about here? you see the shirt.
It's like David Ortiz.
The Yankees lose. Yankees lose. Yeah. Daniel's going to declare war against Canada after tonight.
We'll be singing Frank Sinatra.
We're going to be playing O Canada at the next show on Thursday. Yes. So. All right, that's it. Yankees, Blue Jays coming up next on 1430. We'll see you Thursday.